You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station. The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss. Presented by the CIMB Group.
Today we're speaking with Chok Kwee Bee, Managing Director of Teak Capital Malaysia, a venture capital management company. Good morning and thank you for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
I hear entrepreneurs complain that some venture capitalists think and operate like bankers. Bankers, they say, tend to have a different mindset, a lower risk appetite. How do you make that transition from being an investment banker to becoming a venture capitalist where you deal with companies in, with a shorter track record?
I think it is the different. You have to change your mindset when you deal with entrepreneurs. You have to believe in them. You have to give them listen to them. Before we make any decision in investing, we obviously make use of some of our skills and not acquired as a banker, because at the end of the day, it's still investing and you're managing other people's funds. So you need to be a bit cautious as well. So the ideal is that to have a balance where you can be able to work with them and make the good investments.
So the skills could be that you still bring over from banking would be like due diligence, negotiations. Yes, and also, but the I guess the softer aspects will be like having to be more patient, for example.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, for me, when I transitioned from being, I was head of corporate finance before I became a venture capitalist. So I wanted to be a VC because I felt that I wanted to work with entrepreneurs. So and I felt that, and actually a lot of the skills which I acquired as in corporate finance from using now, a lot of it is the financial aspects. A lot of entrepreneurs may not, they are so passionate about their projects, their products, but in many cases they overlook the financial aspects. So I'm always there to remind them about their revenue, their costing, what is your vision for the next 3 years, do their budget and things like that. But at the same time, we also have to look at the market and all that. So it is very useful skills to have as a VC.
So do you have to like master the art of not looking skeptical and cynical?
No. I think, to be honest, I've joined being a VC for 10 years already. And, of course, I lament at not having the good quality companies, but we've seen more than 1,000 companies. As a group, I think we've seen about more than 1,300 companies, and we haven't made that many investments. So I felt that there must be, why is it, there are a lot of, so it's not short of a lack of people wanting to be entrepreneurs.
And why is that the case?
So it's just that the thing is that everybody aspire to be entrepreneur, but being an entrepreneur, you need to have a lot of patience. I think it's not just a VC having patience.
The entrepreneur.
And you need to be persistent, So if you and then you need to spend a lot of time. You have an idea, you need to research into it to find out, are there prospects for this business or not? Spend a lot of time finding out what other people are doing. Is this the me too? How can I do it better than them? Because at the end of the day, you have to be the best in whatever you do. And so I find that it's lacking. A lot of them just rush into it. And then they get frustrated because things don't work out. So I always advise them to spend a bit more time doing the research, the planning, before you embark on the fundraising and all that. So, just spend more time in the beginning to get it right.
Could you give us some examples of where these frustrations can come about? What sort of frustration or what sort of failures?
From the entrepreneurs?
Yes, that could happen.
Yeah. So basically, from the entrepreneurs, I think, one of the things is that a lot of entrepreneurs in Malaysia are very young. They do it from school. And they start. I know you can be an entrepreneur when in school, but then the projects will be different. So as you when you leave school, when you go out into the business, well, you have to morph into doing projects which are bigger for. So you can start as a social entrepreneur or something. You're going to move into, if you want to be the, that's also good to be a social entrepreneur, but you have to morph into, depending on what your vision is, what sort of companies you want to build. So I think a lot of them just want to do, but they don't really, they're not clear in terms of where they want to get to. So I think definitely more time need to spend.
Why is it that they're not clear where they want to get to? Is it lack of proper, the right education, or is it lack of mentoring?
I think education, obviously the education, and okay, I must credit the government. A lot of the schools have entrepreneurial clubs, universities as well, you know. So I think it's good the government is pushing a lot in terms of helping them to be entrepreneurs. But I think, yeah, they don't prepare them well enough in terms of what it takes to be an entrepreneur. So maybe you need to have a lot more boot camps, a lot of camps, workshops and all that to take them to the next level rather than just say what it is to be an entrepreneur. So get them to go through a few-day program, tell them, show them case studies like Apple or others, you know, and then maybe they can learn more.
I suppose it's always an ongoing process,
yeah,
right?
It's an ongoing
process. As an entrepreneur, you grow a startup, then you move on to expansion.
Yep.
There's a different mindset each time. And so T Capital, they manage something like 40 million ringgit from MAFCAP. The money comes from MAFCAP.
Partly, yes.
So what is your investment criteria?
Yeah, we focus mainly in technology-related investments. So we can do from early stage. We actually have done seed as well in this fund. But preference, we do see it only if you, the entrepreneurs, have the experience, are able to scale. And then we also do, we tend to do early stage to growth stage in this. And so the sectors, and right now we are focusing on Malaysia because the fund size is not very big. But most of the companies we invest in, they are regional companies. They have potential to go regional. So we don't just look at them only from Malaysia.
Right, they have scalability.
Scalability.
When you say scalability, do you expect something like a 20% growth in revenue every year? Is that what you at least expect?
After a while, I know in early days, you probably have 100% growth, right? But at least 20%, more like... because if you're starting early, it could be 50% or more every year until you're a little bit more mature. So, but the main thing is that the businesses they're in, we can cover ASEAN regional, at least. I always prefer that they focus on ASEAN because I think being a Malaysian company, the ASEAN market is 600 million. And if you start going to US, I think again it depends on what you're selling. But I think there are a lot of potential also here. Some of the companies here, they sell online. Their customers maybe US and Europe, so those are fine too. So, but there is still potential in this part of the world.
When you say they sell online, but a lot of these companies that sell, depending what I guess what they sell, the startup cost is very low.
Yes, the startup cost is very low, but the thing is that if you want to sell online, you must come out with updates. Your products must be able to, every 3 months you must have something new, or even every month you may have something new. So because otherwise it gets stale, you know. So you must come up with a lot of the variation of your products. Even look at Apple, you know, the iPhone. They come out almost every 6 months, you know, and their market is a million or more, you know. So they're constantly coming up with. So you have to be able to come up with new products. So to excite the online purchases to keep coming back to you.
Yeah. So what are some of the companies that you've invested in from your BI Walden days to now?
Yeah. Okay. One of the companies, obviously, we always like to share is JobStreet. Under Walden, we invested in, we are the first investors of JobStreet. So we were there since 1998. And in BI Walden, we invested in about 2001 when they raised the next round of funding. So this is one of the companies which I think is Australia's, for Malaysia, is one of the most successful companies. And I think it's very good to if an internet business, just follow, see how they grow. They're very patiently over 10 years. You know, when they went for IPO, it took them 8 years before they were IPO. You know, so it's not easy to go for IPO after 3 years. So you have to build the team, build the market, build the products, market acceptance, that's the other thing. So that's one of the companies. So we also invested in other companies, Islamic Banking Solution. They are leaders there, but so they have grown. They have branches in Indonesia and all that. And so we also invest some US companies. and we invest in other local companies, content management during the time. So it's a few internet software and some and a lot of like some semiconductor companies. We invested in a company that did design the chip that for the MyCard, you know. A local company, but it's taken them years, but I think they're getting, they just sort of get there. It takes them almost 8 years to get there.
So they always say that, you know, in VC it's very high risk because you're investing in the, you know, the startup stage and all that. So maybe there could be one success case out of 4 failures or 10 failures or something like that. So what are some failures that you had to experience?
Yeah, we obviously we do have our fair share of failures, although we have been very careful. Well, some of the reasons for the failure, I feel in some cases the market is not ready. You know, we started in 2000. Everybody was going in for internet and all that, and you know that a lot of the companies that come out were actually the same ideas as what was around maybe 5 years or 10 years ago. So like even a company like JobStreet, for instance, you know, when they came out, they were a little bit ahead of the time. Luckily, they had the online the recruitment people, the internet users started increasing, and they have a product that people need, right? So after a few years, they managed to direct through the so-called the downturn of the internet, and now they're doing very well. So if you cannot survive during that period, a lot of companies die along the way, and because they run out of cash, you know. So even with that company, we told them to conserve their cash, and then when market pick up, then they're there. So being ahead of time is actually one of a problem, you know. So you need to time it quite well.
How do you time it?
Yeah, I think you know, as VCs, we have this problem, right? We always want to invest in companies of the future, but at the same time, after going through the internet, the .com. Era, we know that we just have to understand the market and then try and tell them to slow down but keep building up into something really good. Yeah.
Okay, we're speaking with Chok Kwee Bee, the Managing Director of Teak Capital, a venture capital company. After this, we'll like to talk more about how the industry, the venture capital industry, is shaping up in Malaysia.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for joining us today. We're speaking with Chok Kwee Bee, Managing Director of Teak Capital. This is The Breakfast Grill. We talked about some of the companies that you have invested in. And, you know, a company is as good as the people who run the companies, who founded the companies, right? So what are some of the challenges working with entrepreneurs?
Yeah, I think entrepreneurs are a special breed of people, you know. So they all, I said, one of the things, the ego. I said, it is good to have ego, but you need to be sensible and listen to other people as well. And the other thing is, entrepreneurs always believe, they must believe in themselves, right? So I think with all the companies we invested in, so we also find that some of the traits they have is the entrepreneurs must have a vision as well. You know, they must look forward all the time and know what's out there. And the entrepreneurs, the persistence, they need to be, because they have to go through a lot of ups and downs, you know. That it's not a smooth road, you know. You really feel that, for I can see my own entrepreneurs, to build a company, they have to go through many challenges. So you must be able to overcome these challenges and keep going. So if you don't believe in it and don't have the passion for what you do, then it'd be hard. I mean, like one of the companies I work with, the entrepreneur, he's a very seasoned, he was a CEO, you know, he has a lot of experience. But when he started the company, suddenly the challenges out there are totally different. The market challenge, the people challenge, fundraising, you know, the technology, you know. So he has to, it's a big change for him. So, but he has to be able to handle all of this at one time, you know. It doesn't say, wait, you know, let me solve this first. So a lot of entrepreneurs, they have to multitask as well. And they also need to network, market, you know, need to be in a way opportunistic, go out and find out what are the, and take advantage of situations and all that.
So I suppose you're like a sounding board to them as well?
Yeah. I always encourage entrepreneurs to to call me, email me or whatever, just drop by my office and sound out their business ideas. Of course, we are out there to look for investments. And in many cases, we don't invest the first time we meet them. We need to get to know them.
How do you get to know them?
So when you talk to people, it's a way you need to judge. It's a judgment, something you hope you get with experience. You know, what we look for is integrity. You know, I think we do. I'm not so. I mean, obviously, we like successful companies, but failure is not so negative in that sense. But the main thing is they want to learn from their mistakes and move on. And honesty and integrity will be quite important. We want to make sure that people, you know, don't take even in the company, they work for the company and they don't benefit themselves, you know. We're constantly, and then obviously people who are committed, people who can work as a team. Teamwork is important. We feel that a lot of small startups here, they try and start a company with one, two persons. I just tell them it's just impossible, you know. You need to get a team of at least 3-4 people to start with and then build up to 10 people, 15 people. So we encourage them to work with other people. And if they can't work with other people, I think they can't work with the VCs, you know. So that would be a concern here.
Right. And so, I mean, the opposite of being persistent is knowing when to cut your losses. So how would you advise your entrepreneurs if, you know, maybe you're being over persistent and you need to cut your losses?
To be honest, I'm one of those VCs who don't give up.
Okay.
I tend to feel that there must be a way, you know, you can change your business model and all that. And of course, at some point, we stop funding, right? But after going through, I think a lot of them cut their losses when they run out of cash. It's as simple as that, you know. Nobody is funding them, either it's their friends, family, or outside funders. So when they run out of cash, really, the business has to fold. Actually, during dot-com time, a lot of them actually closed because they ran out of cash. So now we're not going through that stage yet, you know. And if you're an entrepreneur, if you cannot do this, if you have this idea that, okay, I see companies, they can change their business model a few times. So I have invested in a company where they changed business model 2-3 times. In fact, many successful companies actually changed their business model a few times. So it's nothing wrong. So the only concern is that they want to keep doing something which is not working and not and being stubborn and not wanting to move to something else. So they have to then make an assessment whether is it time for us to now do something different or not. But then you have to see what else they can do. Yeah.
There are some entrepreneurs who are very charismatic, ego bigger than Taj Mahal. I mean, for example, I think Steve Jobs, I mean, he's regarded as a maverick, you know, the creative force behind Apple, but yet also people complain that he's difficult to control. You know, he has his limitations. He is only human, right? So what do you do when you are faced with an entrepreneur who's like Steve Jobs?
Yeah.
Great guy, but, you know, difficult to control.
Yeah. I mean, I've read the Steve Jobs story, you know, and I took a look at it. This guy is amazing because he was thrown out from a company he started, you know. And then after a while, he said, yeah, this is the best thing that has happened to me. Because then I have managed to go into Pixar. I've been to, can go into so many things, you know, the new OS. And he had time to do other things. So you see, he has in him. He believed himself, and he doesn't wallow in, I have been thrown out, you know. He just went on and he built even bigger things. So I feel, of course, he has a big ego, but I think actually I won't say he has a big ego. I think he believed himself, then it came out as sounded as though he has that big ego, I think. But the amazing thing about him is that he believed and he carried on to come out with different things every time, you know. And even within the Mac, you know, then with Apple, you know, he came out with stuff with iPhone, iPod, iTunes, you know, iPad, you know. So it is a whole range of products he managed to come out with. He didn't start at one thing. So you can imagine. So how do we handle people like that? I think I love to have an entrepreneur like him, you know. Because they keep going on, you know. It's just amazing, you know. So I think ego, I think it's not a big problem with me, except that they must know how to manage their ego and listen to people and deliver. Main thing is performance. At the end of the day, everybody is measured by performance, you know. How do you build a successful company?
So do you think we'll have an Apple or Google or a Facebook here? Are there any companies in Malaysia that have that kind of potential?
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, I'm looking for them. So please call me if you feel you're one of them. Yeah.
We have a question from a listener. It says here, there's only 15 active VCs in the country now. I think the number of VCs, yes. Venture capital companies have shrunk. And only government-owned venture capital companies do and supply money for the early stages of businesses. And those that are playing in the private equity space, however, is growing. Why is that the case?
Actually, this is actually a trend worldwide. Even in the US, the private equity is growing faster than VC. Even Silicon Valley, they go through up and down, the ups and down. But here in Malaysia, I think one of the things is that a lot of people who are in VC, there have not been many successes. So that's probably one of the reasons. You can count them maybe 20, 30 companies which you can consider fairly okay, good. And so a lot of the VCs felt that they wanted to do later stage companies, so they moved into private equity. Yeah. I mean, I'm different. I felt that I still believe that there are prospects, opportunities. If I want to be a VC, I should be working with entrepreneurs and startups.
So how do you manage to stay in this business for 10 years?
How? Yeah, the passion. Because I've been fortunate in that I work for 10 years with Walden International, and they're based in Silicon Valley. So I have gained a lot of knowledge on how to work with startups and entrepreneurs. And I'm really keen to share this with the local community and build some successful companies here in Malaysia.
There's a question from a listener. Does that mean our local venture capitalists, because there are so few of us, a few of them in this country, and does it mean that VCs have no ability to guide young companies, unlike in the US, and the Malaysian VCs are only armchair investors and do not appreciate the concept high risk, high return?
VC industry in Malaysia started. The first VC was formed in 1984, so it's already 26 years. But Silicon Valley is more than 50 years. And in Silicon Valley, most of the partners in VC firms have worked before. Maybe people like myself who have worked many years and then decided to be a VC. So I think we would like to encourage more people who can have worked and then become VCs. So, but in Malaysia, I think being very new, so a lot of them just join fresh from school and all that. So maybe I give them another few more years, they will gain the experience of working with entrepreneurs. So there is a bunch of so-called senior VCs, and they have been able to work closely with the companies. Yeah,
I suppose because you've been a banker for a number of years. If I may say, obviously, personally, financially stable, already financially quite independent. So, and then you can move on to this stage of, you know, a higher risk kind of career. You can do that, unlike maybe a younger VC who's not had that career track record, plus the financial independence as well.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, a lot of them, it's good to want to give back and share your experience with the community. So, which is really what it'd be good if more people do that. Yeah.
There's another question from a listener. When you were heading the Malaysian Venture Capital Association, the president or chairperson, the Ministry of Finance had given exemptions to seed, startup, and subsequent stage called the early stage financing, which is early stage financing, which is not really early at all because it's
the pre-IPO.
Yeah, it's basically pre-IPO companies already, which may have more than 5 years track record. So, did the venture capital companies misled the government and abuse the tax incentive system?
No, I don't think the government. We worked with them, so we explained to them that this is a situation in Malaysia. So if you don't extend it, that means the incentives will not be widely used. So I think the government understood and decided to extend it for us. Yeah.
Okay, so this is just mainly to really just jumpstart the industry.
Yes.
To
give as much support. And then later they can take it out. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, and there's a question from my boss Malik Ali. If we return back the clock 2 years and BFM was knocking on your doors with a business plan for a business radio station in Malaysia, how would you have analysed our potential?
Yeah, I think, I think BFM should have a good potential because it's something new here in Malaysia. And I think, and most companies, when you start up with an idea, yeah, I think he should have should start up. I don't think he shouldn't start. He should continue. And most, they go through phases, you know, startups, it goes through the, I can see there's a cycle, you know. First 3 years of companies are quite critical. Once you get the footing, then I look at the next 3 years and then after that. So even the companies, you need to go through the 3 years. And the business model, you can always expand it into other things. And I think this is a very good base to do that.
Okay, another question from a listener. Do you believe entrepreneurs are born or made? If made, how does one start developing, becoming an entrepreneur?
I think first thing is read about other entrepreneurs out there. I mean, people like Steve Jobs. What is it that make them successful? Mingle with more entrepreneurs. Main thing is to find the idea, the idea that can take you forward, and network a lot. Do a lot of research before you start.
Yeah. Do you get the sense that there are more entrepreneurs, there are potential entrepreneurs out there, but there are lesser businessmen out there?
That's why every time one of the thing requirement of even a VC, you know, is that you must have business acumen. With entrepreneurs too, you need to you can be an entrepreneur, but you must be able to make a business, as in make sure that your product can give you the revenue you want, you know. Can grow the revenue and all that. So just don't just think of product. Think about how big it can grow and can it be a profitable company.
Yeah, so don't just become an entrepreneur, but become a business person.
Yeah, business person, yeah. Yes.
Thank you for speaking with us this morning. Chok Kwee Bee, Managing Director of Teak Capital, a venture capital company. I'm Noel Lim on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by the CIMB Group, Southeast Asia's leading universal bank. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.